Chapter 57 and 58 are a strong rebuke against Israel's leaders and Israel's way of worship. But I want us to pay attention first to something that really caught my eye and really has changed the way that I see myself. In the middle of this rebuke, chapter 57, verse 15 gives this promise. It says, "This is what the high and exalted one says, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Isn't this passage remarkable? In the middle of a rebuke, the Lord's voice speaks forth to say, "I dwell in two places. One of these places is in heaven." You know, the realm where we usually imagine our Lord to be, high and exalted, sitting on a throne, surrounded by a celestial court. But it also says, look, I want you to pay attention. Look what this passage explains. "As much as the Lord dwells in a heavenly home, the Lord also dwells in the broken hearts. The Lord also dwells in those whose spirits are low." I want us to try to learn these truths in our hearts for a second. This is worth meditating through over and over again. As much as the Lord delights in dwelling in the heavenly home, the Lord dwells in the ruptured places, in the crumbled hearts, in the shattering, right there where it hurts the most. And the reason why this is so incredible to me and has been incredible to me this past week is because when I look at myself, I look at the levels of anxiety that I carry with me, the things that I carry from the past, all those paths crossed and the traumas. I look at often hopelessness concerning the world around me, and I see brokenness. I see shortcomings. I see wounds. So if I'm looking at myself, I think ugly, undesirable, must be hidden. Yet what this passage tells me and is telling us and you is that the Lord looks at this same me and nothing is hidden from the Lord. The Lord can see everything from the inside out. Complete visibility. God looks at me and thinks, home. We are this home. The place God does not intend to leave. The place where the Lord rests. And isn't that what we see in the person of Jesus Christ? When looking at the world, a world shattered by sin, by violence, by abuse, by cruelty, the Lord did not run away from it. The Lord embraced it as close as it could possibly be held. The Lord saw everything that we were and said, "I will become human and take all of your sin in my body." And this is not because the Lord was romanticizing brokenness. I want to be careful to point this out. We shouldn't romanticize pain and brokenness. Jesus Christ comes to dwell in brokenness, not just to remain there and call it okay, but to dwell in there to heal it and heal us. And so this passage in Isaiah 58 presents the brokenness in Israel's heart. The whole chapter is a rebuke against idolatry. The passage says, "You haven't remembered me. You haven't given me a thought. Why don't you cry out to your idols and let them deliver you?" What we see here is so eye-opening because it doesn't really show us the kind of idolatry that we usually think about. It doesn't show us a nation that builds statues and calls them idols. This is showing us a nation that worships the Lord, one with pious people. The passage describes this at the beginning. It describes how The people seek the Lord daily. They rejoice in the Lord's ways. They even delight in seeking the Lord. So what is wrong with this picture? Why does God confront them? The Lord is clear in his rebuke, saying, when you worship, are you seeking after me? Or are you worshiping yourself? Are you worshiping your own desires? Are you here to worship me for who I am or to seek pleasure for yourself? The Lord is saying, you think you're worshiping me rightly, but you're not. You worship and you oppress your workers, verse 3. You worship and you quarrel and fight, verse 4. You worship and you strike others, verse 5. And here is the challenge. The Lord states strongly there is no and in worshiping the Lord. You cannot worship the Lord while you don't pay attention to the damage, the hurt, the pain, the oppression around you. You cannot worship the Lord while you don't pay attention to the damage, the hurt, the pain, the oppression around you. I repeat that again. The Lord is saying, a worship that ignores the world where you are is a worship that ignores me. And this kind of worship is called idolatry. So idolatry is spelled out as a piety that is centered around a person's individual personal relationship with God without regards to the place where they are, the world we inhabit. Idolatry is the lie that our lives, our bodies, our spirits are coming in and going out in this world is an individual journey. And the thing is, that has never been the case. There is no such thing as an individual you, an individual me. We wouldn't and couldn't exist on our own. We have been created not to exist on our own. We breathe, we exist, we live because we walk this journey alongside a biodiversity of plants and animals that give us oxygen, nutrients, and sustenance. We exist and live because we are woven together in this world with other people. But so many times, we try to draw distances between peoples. We build fences. We build suburbs. We build cars that allow us to transport ourselves from place to place without having to interact with anyone but ourselves on the way. Have you ever thought how easy it is for us to move around Durham while having little or no interaction with any of its people? I'm guilty of this. I could go to a coffee shop, drive there in my own car, or take the bus while looking at my phone the entire time. I could get to the coffee shop, choose the farthest seat away from everybody else, put my headphones on so nobody speaks to me. I could go to the grocery store and do the self-checkout because it's quicker instead of spending time talking to a cashier. I could go on runs around my neighborhood, have my earphones on, and time myself in such ways that I have no time to talk to anybody because I gotta beat my own personal record. I am guilty of this. We draw distances between ourselves. We build subtle walls that separate us from that community of people around us, from the world we inhabit. It happens so often and for so long that we're usually not even aware that we're doing it. But it hurts us. It is so damaging to us in such visible ways. In the ways I see how we're capable of enacting legislation that wounds entire communities of refugees, entire communities of immigrants, and so many of us support her and are happy about it because we don't get to feel their pain. How can we feel their pain when we haven't gotten to know them? How can we feel their pain if they don't belong in our world? If they only exist in the peripheries of who we are? And so the Lord has some very strong words against this individual-centered worship. But let's pay attention to how the Lord's words are shaped, how they're directed, what is the intent behind them. This is an angry rebuke. But it doesn't show anger just for the sake of anger. The Lord's words are a reprimand, definitely, for sure. But they're also an invitation. Worship me rightly, says the Lord, so that you may come closer to me. See your idols. See the walls that you have built around you so that you can break these walls and destroy these idols. Pay attention to where you are, to the world you inhabit, and in that, see me and worship me for who I am. If we are to know God for who God is, we can only gain this knowledge through Christ. And if we are to know Christ, then we must embrace the world. Embrace the world. That is our call. Embrace it as Christ completely and totally embraced it. Because Christ did not stand at a distance. He did not stand at arm's length from the world. Christ drew so deep into it, so deep he became one with us. And God has made God's home here. And so the Lord has not run away from me in my pain. He has not run away from you in your brokenness, in your ache, in your shattering. And because this is true, we don't get to run away from those who break. We don't get to live a life that separates us from them in whatever shape or form. Verse 7, don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Don't hide yourself from broken bodies, from aching souls, from wounded hearts. Don't hide yourself from those suffering the most around you. The invitation is to worship the Lord rightly, to see your idols for who they are, to see your worship for what it is, to repent. Repent and find refuge in He who is calling. To be so united to the one who calls our name that our hearts beat together. To be so united that we know exactly what the Lord means when speaking of the Lord's dwelling place in chapter 57, verse 15. The Lord dwells with the contrite and the lowly of spirit. The Lord dwells with the hungry. The Lord dwells with the homeless and the poor. The Lord dwells with the naked. This is who God is. This is who Christ became. We cannot and we will not know God unless we understand this truth, unless we live this truth. So let us listen to this invitation. Let us not hide ourselves from Christ, who in his own flesh became a poor man of color, a refugee. Let us worship rightly and not construct a world that separates us from entire communities of people around us. This is our call today. Let us pray. Our Lord in heaven, thank you for the truth and the promise that you are with us, in us, near to us, in our shattering, in our brokenness, in our suffering, in our pain. You're there. Thank you for the promise that you have called those places home. Thank you for the promise that because you are with us in those places, we're empowered to love those that are suffering the most. We're empowered to break the walls of idolatry around us, to break the separation that this world, that we can build around us, that separates us from entire communities of people. We repent, our God. We repent and come to your feet and ask for your help. Let us worship you rightly. Let us worship you rightly for who you are. Let us embrace the world. Let us embrace those around us like you have embraced us. Give us hope. Give us the assertion that we are the light of this world, that we are to walk as the light of this world. Thank you, Jesus. We love your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.